morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT third quarter 2017 conference call. I'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Naomi Stavora, Chief Financial Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the third quarter of 2017. On the call with me this morning are Andrew Melton, President and CEO of Melcor REIT, and Darren Rayburn, President and CEO of Melcor Development. If you have not reviewed the materials related to this call, including the management's discussion and analysis and the financial statements, they are available in the Investor Relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca or on sedar.com. Our goal is to keep our remarks to a brief, high-level review of the quarter and then open up the call for your questions. But first, I have a few mandatory statements to make. First, certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the Business Environment and Risk section of our MD&A. Second, we report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with IFRS. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, adjusted funds from operations, adjusted cash from operations, and net operating income. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our MD&A. I will now walk everyone through some of the financial highlights of our results for the quarter ended September 30, 2017. Our portfolio performance remained steady in the quarter, with a 2% increase on rental revenue and a 1% decrease in net operating income. Our operating margin also remained consistent at 62% in the quarter and 61% year-to-date. FFO increased 3% and AFFO was steady compared to Q3 of 2016. Year-to-date, FFO and AFFO both increased by 2%. We again took advantage of favorable lending conditions and early refinanced $19.77 million in mortgages at an average interest rate of 3.31% in the quarter. Early refinancing was a strategy employed to mitigate and rebalance our maturity risk for 2018, when 21% of our mortgages were scheduled to mature. With this refinancing and others completed earlier in the year, we have reduced the percentage of mortgages that will mature in 2018 to 10%. I will now turn the call over to Andy Melton, who will speak to our portfolio's operating performance for the first 9 months of 2017.
Thanks, Naomi, and good morning, everyone, and thank you, John, for helping to coordinate the call. I just want to tell you that we really appreciate the time and energy that everybody puts into listening to us. Your interest is very appreciated and very important to us. It is my pleasure to report on another successful quarter for the REIT. Our portfolio performance remains on track as we continue to execute on our business strategy of taking care of our tenants and buildings. You'll hear a lot of steady, stable, and consistent. Once again, these are words that you'll find over and over in our earnings announcement. You'll hear me say a lot of this morning. Same asset net rental income, excluding the impact of non-cash items, was steady in the quarter. We also reported 92.5% occupancy at September 30th. Our retail and office assets in Southern Alberta, British Columbia, and Regina generated same asset income and occupancy growth over 2016, offset somewhat by lower results in Northern Alberta assets. Year-to-date loss of just under $11 million is a result of non-cash fair value losses on investment properties in the period, primarily due to increase in cap rates. As Naomi stated, we believe that adjusted funds from operations is a better reflection of the true operating performance of our company. AFFO was relatively stable at $5.16 million in the quarter and $15.63 million year-to-date. We continue to execute on our proactive leasing strategy to both retain existing and attract new tenants. Through the first 9 months of 2017, we completed just under 295,000 square feet of new and renewed leasing with a retention rate of just over 84% year to date. We continue to experience negative market pressure on Edmonton downtown office market as approximately 1.8 million square feet of new inventory comes online. We remind you that Edmonton office space makes up only 12% of the REIT's GLA, and as such, negative market pressures are somewhat offset by the strength elsewhere in our portfolio. Our working capital position remains in good shape, and we continue to collect receivables in a timely manner. The general consensus of economists that I've listened to lately seem to be suggesting that the worst is likely behind us in Alberta, but at the street level where the work is actually done, there still exists significant economic and political uncertainty. So although people in the oil and gas business are feeling somewhat more optimistic, and everybody hopes their optimism is for good reason, the positive effects in the real estate business, as real estate lags behind the oil and gas economy, the positive effects are going to take some time. In light of this, we continue to work on our proven strategy of focusing on our real estate fundamentals. The result for us has been continued consistent results. This focus on our strategy also positions us in a very good position to take advantage of economic conditions as they improve. Our confidence in the future growth through the Melcor pipeline continues to strengthen, and we can tell you that there is a number of really good properties that are at the end of their development cycle in the Melcor development portfolio that are ready to come over, and we are actively considering options in bringing them over. At this time, I'd like to open up the phone lines to take any questions. John, if you'd be so kind to help us there.
Thank you, sir. So if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing star 1, and you may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 if you have a question. There will be a brief pause allowing you to register. Our first question is from Jenny Ma from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Wanted to ask about your lease maturity schedule for the portfolio. You've done a lot of leasing activity, and I know the weighted average is lease term is about just under 5 years. But if you look over the next, say, 12 to 24 months, are there any big bulges in the lease maturity or any weightings towards a specific asset class or market?
Jenny, it's Darren. Thanks for the question. If you look at our maturity stack, it's 11% expiring in 2018 and just under that in 2019. So the answer to your question is pretty balanced. One of the things that we talk a lot about is, and Andy mentioned the downtown Edmonton market. So let me tell you what isn't the case. There isn't a big bulge in the downtown Edmonton market. So for instance, in 2018, in downtown Edmonton, we have about 49,000 square feet expiring. And again, Melcor Developments is the largest tenant expiring in 2018. While I can't provide guidance on what Melcor Developments will do, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to negotiate that renewal.
Okay.
Same with 2019, too. So the short answer to your question is there are no unusual bulges. It's pretty balanced and what we feel will be pretty consistent throughout the next 2 years.
Okay. Can I just clarify the numbers? You said 44,000 square feet in 2018.
Sorry, for downtown Edmonton?
Yep.
It's 49,000 square feet.
Okay.
Expiring in 2018, and Melcor Developments makes up just under 27,000 square feet of that.
Okay. Gotcha.
The entire portfolio in 2018, at 11%, is just over 320,000 square feet expiring.
Okay. Okay. Understood. So as far as your outlook on Edmonton downtown, it seems to be clear that for the portion that's not necessarily leased by MRD, though I know we can't speak for them, you may expect some pressure as far as rental rates at the very least.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, and then I was also wondering, with regards to the convertible debenture maturing in Jan 19, I don't know if it's still a little bit early, but have you given any thoughts on the strategy on refinancing that or rolling it over?
Hi, Jenny. Yeah, it's Naomi. I think it actually matures at the end of 2019. So Melcor does have an option to redeem in 2018, but only if the shares are trading at 125% of the conversion price.
Okay.
It's obviously not in the realm of possibility, most likely, for 2018. based on our current share price. So it's a little bit early to say that the earliest we could probably look at redeeming it would be in early 2019. And at this point, sort of based on our yields and our units compared to interest rates available on new convertibles, I think the intent would likely be to issue a new convert. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a little bit early to definitively decide on that.
Okay, that's helpful. That's all for me. I'll turn it back.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Kyle Stanley from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Just a few questions for me. So this quarter, straight-line rent ticked up a little bit, and I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the cause of the uptick and, you know, how we should think about it going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cause was actually just sort of doing a good scrub of reviewing all of our leases and how the straight line was being calculated, and they are just anomalous adjustments that were booked in the quarter. So I wouldn't take the current quarter straight line rent as indicative of a future straight line rent adjustment. I'd say closer to sort of Q2 is sort of more on normal, and we should be tracked back to normal by the end of the year. So somewhere around 275 to 300 a quarter, as opposed to the 540 you saw this quarter.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. And then just my last question. So just looking at the fair value adjustment to investment properties was positive this quarter, the first time in a couple quarters. I'm just wondering, can you speak to the cap rate environment in your markets? Are you seeing them kind of start to stabilize? And, you know, is that geography or asset class specific?
Yeah, interestingly enough, there was only one property that actually triggered a small cap rate change. So realistically, I think you're comment on cap rate changes remaining the same is a good one. Most of the positive increases actually related to increased NOI on the properties and not necessarily cap rate changes. So just new leasing and increased NOI.
Okay, perfect. That's it for me, so I'll turn it back. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from David Crystal from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Just looking at the recoveries, they're running about 96% of actual expenses year to date. Typically with the true up in the fourth quarter, they seem to come in the 93-94% range. Is that around where you expect to come in for the full year?
Yeah, it'll come down by the end of the year.
Okay, so we should see a kind of sizable decline in recoveries in the fourth quarter then?
Relatively accurate statement.
In the ratio. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
That's what you mean by sizable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to average it out to roughly that 93-94 range, closer to occupancy.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And, I mean, you touched on the converts due in 2019, but there is a sizable chunk of mortgage debt and then Class Cs as well. Have you looked at any early refinancing opportunities on the 2019s, or is it a little early still?
Yeah, we have looked at the 2019 maturities, and it did seem a bit early. Most of the financial institutions weren't really that open to speaking to them yet, but as we move into 2018, we'll definitely continue those conversations. As far as the Class C maturities, so originally the Class Cs were all set to mature 5 years after IPO, which would be May of 2018. But that is renewable at the option of the independent trustees. And so I can't, you know, make any promises by any means, but it's definitely our intention to renew those with the independent trustees such that those Class Cs will not be maturing in 2018.
Okay, that's helpful. And I guess maybe turning it back here to the 2018s, have you started any of the refinancing activity there, or is it little early there as well?
Sorry, on the 2018 maturities?
Yep.
Yeah, so we have refinanced effectively just over half of what was already due in 2018 this year. So for the remaining half, we have started looking at our plans for those already, yep.
And where do you expect rates to go? Are flat, up, or down versus in place?
That's a good question. Likely probably more flat than anything. We probably don't see the large decreases that we've seen so far, given the fact that rates have kind of come back up.
Yeah.
But I don't have my full 2018 maturity profile in front of me, so that's kind of just a gut feeling, but I'd have to look into that further for you.
Okay, fair enough. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you once again. If you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from Michael Smith from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Wondering, you know, I guess there's a few attractive acquisition opportunities from MRD, and I was wondering if you could just give us a little bit more color on maybe size, yield, how you evaluate it, and maybe how you would finance it.
Michael, it's Darren. I'll tell you what, I'll take my Melcor REIT hat off, put my Melcor Developments hat on, and I can tell you that right now there's just over 172,000 square feet of properties that are REIT-ready with a value of just over $80 million. So again, I can't give you any guidance on what the REIT will do, but what I will do was hand it over to Naomi to just give what some potential ideas might be in the event that these properties were presented to the REIT.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of financing of the properties, I don't think that that's an answer I can answer definitively right now. A convertible debenture is definitely an option that we have examined. Given the recent sort of rise in our unit price, the concept of potentially doing another equity raise is not off the table, and so that's something that we're looking at as well. So I guess I didn't really answer your question, but we're sort of looking at both those options.
Sure, sure. And I guess, you know, of those, of the $80 million, I guess it's, you would look at it when you evaluate it. I guess it's based on, whether it's a good fit for your portfolio, you know, how it affects AFFO. Like, what's your main thinking on it? Diversification? Or all of the above, or?
Michael, it's Andy. I'm going to try to answer that a little bit differently. Firstly, we're not going to do any deal that's not in the best interest of the unit holders. And so no deals are going to get done for the sake of doing deals. They have to be, sort of significantly add to the accretion. That's number one. Number two, the properties, and I would be very happy to discuss it in greater detail offline, but a couple of the properties are actually additional phases to existing properties, so they're very they work very well with the existing portfolio, predominantly retail, and predominantly on land that Melcor Developments, 100% on land that Melcor Developments has developed. So just a good augmentation to our existing portfolio.
Great. That's very helpful. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. So there are no further questions. This concludes today's question and answer session as well as the conference call. Please disconnect your line at this time, and we thank you for your participation.